Thank you. As we come to look at God's Word together, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come here today, we can sit under your Word, that we can reflect on who your Son is and what he has done for us. Please give us attentive ears that we will listen to you through your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. So before coming to Bible College, I was in the police force for 6 years. And one of the things, through my experience in the police force, I learned to listen, but not just to listen, but to listen well. On one such occasion, I remember being in the witness box of a district court matter. I had charged this woman for drug supply offences, and as a result, I had to give evidence against her. It turned out that I was sitting in the witness box for a whole day, and this defence barrister just kept asking question after question after question, often the same question, but in different ways to try and trick me and discredit my evidence. I remember sitting in the witness box going, yes, yes, no, yes, when all of a sudden the barrister yelled, so are you telling this court? And I was like, oh no, what have I just said yes to? I looked at the prosecutor, he was madly taking notes, stop and look up. And I realised, oh no, this must be an important question. And I had no idea what the question was. And so I leant towards the microphone and I said, yes. And the barrister continued on the questioning. He said, I need to listen well, but I didn't. And how I answered that question could have affected the whole case. Listening well is important. It helps us to understand what is going on around us. And Jesus longs for us to listen to him. He longs for our attention. And yet, so often we struggle to listen to him. We get distracted by Facebook, text messaging, phone calls, TV, the demands of work and the apparent constant lack of time that we have. There's so many things that demand our attention that makes it hard to listen to him. But in Matthew 17, God says that we need to listen to Jesus. We need to pay attention to what Jesus is saying. Why is that? Why is Jesus so important that we must listen to him? Because by listening to Jesus, we come to see his glory. That he is worthy of our wholehearted devotion. So by way of context, Peter here has just confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. As a result, Jesus begins to tell his disciples of his coming suffering and death. But his disciples just don't get it. They don't listen to him. So Peter tries to rebuke Jesus. Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But Jesus says, no. If you are to follow me, it will mean suffering. It will mean taking up your cross and following me. And so within this bleak context of Jesus coming suffering and death, we have the transfiguration of Jesus in chapter 17, where God wants to make sure his disciples really listen well, because God's glorious Son has plenty more to say. So if you have a look at verse 1, it says, after 6 days, that is 6 days since telling his disciples of his coming, suffering and death, Jesus decided to take his 3 closest disciples up a high, lonely mountain. No one else around. And while they were up on the mountain, Jesus chose to reveal something of himself. He chose to reveal his glory in a physical way. In verse 2, Jesus stood transfigured before them in all his glory. In some way we don't fully understand. He was changed in his appearance. He looked like Jesus they knew, but also not like him. So just as Moses' face shone as a result of being in the presence of God, so Jesus' face shone. But unlike Moses, whose face shone only because of the reflection of God's glory, Jesus' face shone and his clothes became as bright as the light because of his own glory. Jesus revealed God's glory within himself. That was his very nature. And while Jesus in his glorious transfiguration, who should appear but Moses and Elijah, now seen talking with Jesus. Now for the disciples, this would have been a great honour. These Jewish men were brought up to revere people like Elijah and Moses, two ancient giants of the Christian faith. So Moses was a model of the prophet to come. Elijah, a forerunner of the Messiah. Moses introduced the law. Elijah reintroduced the following of the law. See, both men experienced a divine revelation of God's glory on a mountain. Both experienced rejection by Israel. And some have said that together they represent the law and the prophets. So to see Jesus standing and talking with the disciples, talking with Jesus, the disciples would have thought was a great honour for Jesus. Peter, seeing something of the significance of the event, decides to request to put up three shelters. One for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. In saying this, Peter spectacularly misunderstood what was going on. He was placing Jesus on equal footing with Moses and Elijah. And before Peter could finish his sentence, a bright cloud enveloped them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." It is impossible for any Jewish reader to misunderstand the significance of this cloud. In Old Testament history, the cloud was always represented as the visible presence of God. It was a cloud that led Israel into the wilderness. It was a cloud that descended on Mount Sinai on the giving of the law. And it was a cloud that filled Solomon's temple. And now here, God rebukes Peter through the cloud. "This is my son. Listen to him." Jesus is far superior to Moses and Elijah. Listen to him. "This is my son. Listen to him." This is significant. He didn't say worship Jesus. He didn't say obey or fear him. But he said listen to him. As if a glorious, glowing Jesus isn't enough, now they've heard the very voice of God. And so what do they do? What they do is all sinful humans do. They fell face down to the ground, terrified. It is here that Jesus shows his meekness, gentleness, and love for his disciples. In verse 7 we read that Jesus came and touched them. "Don't be afraid," he told them. And in an instant, it was over. The disciples looked up and saw no one but Jesus. Now you could imagine the awkward silence as they were walking down the mountain. So Jesus speaks first, warning them not to tell anyone what has happened until after his resurrection. But why did he tell them that? Well, the reason seems obvious. He didn't want the people to get any false expectations of his ministry. So he needed to go to the cross. And you could see the disciples puzzling over what they had just seen. So they asked Jesus a question. Why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? So the disciples couldn't understand the combination of Jesus' suffering and Jesus' glory. It came down to their misunderstanding of Malachi 4, that Elijah would restore all things. So Jesus replied, yes, the scribes are right in saying that Elijah must come first. But they had failed to recognise that he had already come. And they also wrongly interpreted the restoration of all things. They understood it to mean the restoration of a perfect earthly kingdom. But that was not the role of Elijah. If Elijah restored all things, there would be no need for the Messiah. Elijah's role was to prepare the way for the coming Messiah, preparing the way for Jesus. And so the disciples listened to Jesus and they understood in verse 13 that he was talking about John the Baptist. And since the leaders had mistreated and killed John the Baptist, Jesus told his disciples that in the same way, he is going to suffer and die at their hands. So what can we learn from this passage? What can we take away? There are two reflections that I'd like to make. First, that Jesus' glory surpasses all others. Jesus' glory surpasses all others. The disciples didn't get this. Peter understood that it was a good thing to be in the glorious presence of our Lord and Saviour Jesus. But he fell short by placing Jesus as equal to Moses and Elijah. Have a look at verse 4 with me. Peter said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses and one for Elijah. Though his intentions were good, Peter spectacularly misunderstood who Jesus was. It was Jesus who was transfigured in all his glory, not Moses and Elijah. And it was God who said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Jesus is God's son. Not Moses, not Elijah, but Jesus. And we read in Hebrews that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. That is to say that he is the exact representation of God's being and sustains all things by his powerful word. The point is that Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater than even Moses, the great prophet, and Elijah, the great reformer. But it's an easy thing to place others higher than Jesus, isn't it? This is a great temptation for us in our day. We have this culture of Christian famous leaders. And often we can be tempted to place them as equal, if not greater than Jesus. So Francis Chan, who's a well-known evangelical preacher, who was a pastor of a congregation of 4,000 people, experienced this very problem and resigned at the end of 2010. Reflecting on why he left, Francis said, I think there's too much emphasis on me. I think we have this desire to make heroes out of people rather than following God. Francis makes a good point. So what does that look like for us? How do we do that? With such wide access to podcasts, Christian media, Christian blogs and videos, there's a real temptation for us to be distracted by other people's voices. Don't get me wrong, it's not bad to listen to these faithful preachers, but we must never place them as greater than Jesus. God said, "This is my son. Listen to him." We must spend time in God's word, listening to Jesus, reflecting and meditating on him. Why? Because Jesus' glory surpasses all others. Second, that Jesus' glory is tied to his suffering. Jesus' glory is tied to his suffering. The disciples' question about Elijah revealed they just didn't get it. They couldn't understand how Jesus' glory could be tied to his suffering. Even though Jesus had repeatedly told them in the preceding chapter that he was going to die and be raised to life, they couldn't understand it. And so Peter rebukes Jesus, "No, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But just as God spoke at Jesus' baptism, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased," to affirm his entering into public ministry, so now at Jesus' transfiguration, God says, "This is my son. Listen to him." There's a shift in Jesus' ministry. And so God is affirming that Jesus is now entering into his sufferings and death and glorious resurrection. So God says, "Listen to him. Listen to what Jesus is saying. Pay attention to him. The Son of Man is going to suffer." And the disciples couldn't understand this because they had their own ideas of Jesus' ministry. But God says, "No, listen to Jesus. Listen to what he's saying. He's going to suffer and die at the cross. And if we are going to follow Jesus, we must deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow him. We will suffer if we follow Jesus. Whether that be feeling isolated at work, when our work colleagues go out and drink way too much, or when people insult you and think you are crazy for believing in a God who would send his only son to die on the cross for you. But we should take comfort in the fact that Jesus has gone before us. To persevere in suffering, we must listen to Jesus. So how can we listen to Jesus? How can we come to see his all-surpassing glory? Well, this is no secret for us. The way we listen to Jesus, the way we come to see his glory, is through reading his Bible. But this is also a great temptation for us to neglect. Amongst the busyness of life, the demands of work, the all-consuming task of raising children, can often pull us away from reading the Bible and spending time in God's Word. For those of you who don't know, I'm currently studying at Bible College. And you probably think that reading the Bible comes really easy for me because I spend all day in it. Yet just last week, to my shame, through the busyness of preparing sermons and writing essays, I failed to spend any time personally with God. See, our personal devotional time with God should never be neglected. Why? Because it's when we listen to Jesus that we come to see the glory of Jesus. Reading the Bible opens our eyes to who Jesus is. That he's the Son of the living God. That he's glorious. And when we come to understand who Jesus is, we come to understand life better. Jesus brings meaning to life. Purpose. He fills the emptiness within us that the pleasures of this world cannot satisfy. And so we must listen to him. And it's through listening to Jesus, through seeing his glory, that enables us to live by faith. If I'm not listening to Jesus, I won't know how to respond to him. But if I listen to Jesus, I'll come to see his value and worth. I'll come to see his glory. When was the last time you contemplated on Christ's glory? Thought about his majesty? Admired his beauty? John Owen, a Puritan of the 17th century, explained why it's so important to reflect on God's glory, Christ's glory. He explained it's the chief prompt of our faith, a helper of our joy, an object of our hope, and our greatest encouragement to obedience and suffering. So we need to listen to him. Are you listening to Jesus? How are you reflecting this in your life? God said, "This is my son. Listen to him." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, often we fall short and fail to see the glory of your Son. We get distracted by the temptations of this world and the desires. Lord, please forgive us. Lord, may we come to see the glory, the beauty, the majesty of your Son. Fill our hearts with joy that we'll seek to serve you in all that we do. In Jesus' holy name, amen.